You're listening to the Church 2911 Sermons Podcast. You can find notes for this message along with more information about our church by visiting church2911.com. Here's our lead pastor, Rick Hand, with this week's message.
Okay, so why prayer? As Justin said, we want to talk about why we need prayer. Why would anybody want to pray? Well, let me give you a few reasons why prayer. Because prayer is life-changing. It is literally life-changing. But it's also day-changing. I mean, it's not just, you know, over, you know, a long period of time. It's day-changing. You have one of those friends that when you're having a tough day, you call them up on the phone and all of a sudden your day's a little bit better? Imagine what God could do if you did the same thing, right? If your friend can do that, what can God do? Prayer is heart-changing. I'll say a little something about that in a few moments. Prayer is situation-changing. I mean, it's not like just something we do and we check off, okay, I prayed today. It can literally change the situations in your life. It is attitude changing. Anybody here ever needed your attitude changed? I'll be honest, I do. You know, a lot of times we want to pray for somebody else's attitude to be changed. My attitude needs to be changed sometimes too. And prayer is attitude changing. Prayer is relationship changing. I got a good friend. He's been gone about 10 years now, older than me. He's a minister and somebody that I relied on a lot, asked questions. I've heard him tell this story several times before he died. And he and his wife, early in their marriage, they were having a tough time. And she said, I'm going to start praying that God either changes you or me. And he said, well, get ready to change. And he said, the more she prayed, the more I changed. Yeah, prayer is relationship changing. It will do that. Maybe some of you want to try that. Prayer is goal changing as well. You know, we get these goals and attitudes. And, you know, as Kyle was saying, declare God your champion, because it's so easy to fall into the trap of our own purposes and things and setting our own goals. And man, I don't really need God to be my champion. I'm my own champion, right? I figure things out. I do it. I'm in charge. I'm a man. You know, I can handle it. I don't really need God to tell me what my goals need to be. But prayer is goal changing as well, and prayer is future changing, because it doesn't just change the next 5 minutes. It changes eternity. Amen. And so this is why we need to talk about prayer. So we're going to talk about it this month again, and I hope you really bear down in with us on this prayer emphasis as well. Okay, so when I think of prayer, especially in the Bible, I think of Daniel. And when I think about Daniel, I think about prayer. They are so intertwined, both of them. So that's who we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about the story of Daniel. And I think everybody pretty much knows at least one story of Daniel, right? You know, Daniel was thrown into the... You do know that, right? So we all know a little something. We probably know more than that. But in case we forget, we need to go back to these stories sometimes and remember. But I want you to see something that was happening throughout the life of Daniel. I want you to see the thread of prayer throughout all the life of Daniel and how it impacted so many things in his life and how it changed so many things, okay? So we're going to actually walk through the chapters, and not so much the last six, because they're really deep. We don't have time to get into them on a Sunday morning. But the first six chapters, we're going to walk through here a little bit of the history of Daniel and his story. Chapter 1 is where we pick up the story, and we don't know, you know, exactly where Daniel was born. We don't know how he was raised. We don't know a lot of those kinds of things. Know a little bit about his family, but not really a whole lot. But mostly what we find out in chapter 1 is that Israel is... And the kingdom of Judah, they've turned their back on God. They're not following him like they should. The kings aren't either. And so God, you know, they take themselves out from under God's protection. You know, they go their own way. They don't need a champion anymore. They are their own champion. And because of that, there's a new world empire coming along, the Babylonians, and they overrun Jerusalem. They overrun Israel as well. And when they do, they take the choice young men. Now, we might say young men, but today we might say the older kids, because they were teenagers. They take the choice young men back to Babylon so that they can instruct them, train them, educate them, so that they can actually be advisors to the king, and they can serve the king. And Daniel is one of these. And there's 180 of these that end up being the leaders. And Daniel is one of these. But there's also three others from Israel. He's got three friends. You know their names? Daniel and then those Yeah, y'all know them, right? Right. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So there's four of them, okay? So there's a really cool story in this first chapter about how when they get there, they're eating from, you know, the king's provision for them. And Daniel said, "We can't eat this." You know, remember those old kosher laws? Not kosher laws today, but actually the original kosher laws of the Old Testament. They said, "We can't eat this stuff." And so Daniel puts God on the spot here, right? Now, you got to be careful when you put somebody on the spot. Like I put the leaders on the spot earlier this year that we're going to challenge you. We're going to do everything we can to help you have a better prayer life, a deeper, stronger prayer life, because I knew they would be all in for this. Well, Daniel knew that God would show up on this. Why did he do this? Okay, so already we're seeing that he's got a special relationship with God. So he puts God on the spot when he tells them, look, don't feed us what everybody else is eating because we can't eat that. Just feed us vegetables and water. I would die of starvation, you know, if it was me. Just, you know, I got to have my meat and carbs, you know. But just feed us vegetables and water, and in 10 days, see if we're not as healthy as everybody else. But in actuality, what happened is they were healthier. They looked better than everybody else. So they put God on the spot, and God showed up, okay? And also we find out this, is that they were deemed, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel, were deemed 10 times better than all of the others, all the other wise men in the kingdom. They weren't just the best. They were 10 times better than all the others is the way it is said in Daniel chapter 1. So here's what we learn about Daniel in chapter 1, is Daniel was chosen by rulers and by God. And, I mean, both of those are awesome, right? To be chosen. I mean, and let me tell you this. You're all chosen by God. You are chosen to do something. We say around here at 2911 all the time, everyone has something awesome to do for Jesus. You are chosen by God. But Daniel had such a spirit in him that he was also chosen by rulers. That's pretty awesome as well. Okay, now Daniel chapter 2, this king, King Nebuchadnezzar, he has a dream. And so he calls his wise men because this dream is really bothering him. I can't figure this out. This has got to be something. You ever have a dream or something? You think, this has got to mean something. That's the way this king was. It's got to mean something. And he couldn't figure out what it was. So he calls all these wise people. They come in and none of them can figure out the dream because he actually doesn't tell them what the dream is. So the first thing they have to do is they have to tell him what the dream was that he had, that he hadn't told them, and then interpret it. And nobody can do that. And they say, well, you know, if you tell us what it is, we can interpret it. You know, I kind of think, yeah, if I tell you what it is, maybe the king was thinking this. If I tell you what it is, you'll come up with something. You know, you'll make something out of this. But he made them tell him what the dream was first. And then Daniel was called in. And so Daniel said, let me go pray about it. And he comes back. Okay, and something really important here is he made sure God got the credit for interpreting the dream. He didn't say, I've got the message for it. You know, he said, God gave me this interpretation for you. And so because of this, then he was promoted to be over the province of Babylon, to be the top over all the province of Babylon. So here's the big point. Daniel had no more time than we do. That's the thing I really want you to see in there, because I know we have lots of excuses of why we don't pray more, right? And, you know, I remember growing up hearing the stories of Daniel in Sunday school, kids' church, and, you know, as an adult, you know, hearing them early on. I remember picturing Daniel as this guy who just stayed in his house all day long and prayed. I mean, yeah, we'll say in just a few moments that he prayed three times a day. How in the world can anybody find time to pray three times a day unless they're just staying at home all day, right? You know, that's not that. Daniel was not a hermit. He was over the province of Babylon. He had more to do than anybody in this room. And he had more stress on his life, probably, than anybody in this room, because he had to take care of all these people and all the plans and all that. And he had to deal with the politics of all of it. He had more to do. He had more stress in it, but he still had time to pray. Busyness is not an excuse to not talk to God. Because, you know, we will do whatever we want to do, right? You know, because like if I ask you this afternoon, hey, I got something I need you to do here. You know what? It'd be really easy to say, well, you know, I got some things to do. I can't today. It'd be really easy to say that, right? But if I said, hey, let's go fishing this afternoon. You say, I got some things to do today, so let me make a couple of phone calls and I'll meet you there, right? Because we'll do what we want to do. Busyness is not an excuse to not pray, because the man of prayer was busier than anybody in this room, and he found time to pray. All right, so let's move on to chapter 4, because chapter 3 is not about Daniel at all. It's about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and that story of them. You know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were thrown into the fiery furnace. So you know that story too, right? Okay, that was all about them. So it's not about Daniel. So we're going to skip that one for time's sake. It's important in the Bible, but it's not important to our story, the timeline of Daniel. So in chapter 4, King Nebuchadnezzar has another crazy dream, and Daniel interprets this one also. And this one leads the king to worship God. Here's the point. Go ahead and bring that up for me, Philip. Prayer is a powerful tool for changing hearts. Now, where do you see, in my kind of summary of chapter 4, where do you see the word prayer? It's not there, is it? So how can I say prayer is a powerful tool for changing hearts? Because it changed the king's heart, but was it prayer that did it? Because, see, here's what we do, right? We kind of act like, I don't know, I think probably most people in this room, if you don't do this all the time, you do it in a lot of ways, in a lot of times. We kind of act like if I can figure out the right words to pray, like some kind of magic incantation or something, if I can figure out the right words to say, then everything's going to be okay by this afternoon. That's not the way it works. You know, it's not about praying and all of a sudden everything changes. Here's what was happening here is Daniel was a praying man and he was in tune with God. You know, and so when he needed to interpret this dream, he was able to interpret this dream as well, and he shared it with him. And then the king, when all this was over, the king gave glory to God. And what's really interesting, and I really encourage you, read the book of Daniel this afternoon, at least the first six chapters. It won't take you 15 minutes, okay? These are great stories right here. Read this again and just think through all of these things. But here's a cool thing about chapter 4 is you see these other times, like Daniel says he goes to prayer and then he comes back and he does this and we hear the story and whatever. But here, the king is telling the story. This isn't written based on what God says this is how it happened or based on what Daniel says this is how it happened. This is the king giving his testimony that I had a dream and Daniel, by the holy God that he serves, had the interpretation of this dream and all these things happened exactly as my dream as interpreted by Daniel from his holy God told me and it happened. And what happened was the king had to go insane for a year. You know, because he was not glorifying God and he went insane for a year. But when he gave glory to God, then he regained his sanity, he regained his kingdom as well. And he said, this happened exactly. And he started giving glory to God because that's when it happened. When he gave glory to God, it all turned back around and he got his sanity back. And he is testifying of this. So where, you know, you might not see, well, prayer right there. No, prayer was before all this. Do you get that? Prayer is before. That's how prayer changes things. It's not that you figure out the right words to say today and everything is better. You pray and you keep praying and you keep praying and God begins. Sometimes it's not even God changing the situation as much as it is him just putting you in the place where you can be a part of the situation that makes a difference in this. And that's what happened here. So don't think that you got to pray the right prayers or you got to figure out that or you come up with some magical and it's all over. No, this is about a relationship with God. And as we pray, he puts us in line with what he is about to do. And then we're like, oh, wow, great, awesome, it's wonderful. And it happens just like that. Okay, so, and then chapter 5. Okay, now we don't know what happens, exactly how it happens. Just based on scripture, we know it through history and some of those things. But there is a change in the kingship here. Nebuchadnezzar is no longer king. Belshazzar is king, his son. And Belshazzar doesn't really know Daniel that well. We don't know if he really even knows him at all because he's got a lot of advisors. But he doesn't know Daniel as well, and he definitely doesn't know Jehovah, Daniel's God. But Belshazzar's having this feast, and he's not worried about God, you know, he's got plenty of gods to serve, you know, and all of that. So he's not worried about Jehovah. But as he's drinking, you know, and enjoying himself at the feast, He sends some servants over to the treasure room where his dad, and he said, let's go get those golden goblets and those things that when my dad, you know, when his armies ransacked Jerusalem and they took all the golden articles out of the temple of Jehovah God, the God of Israel, let's bring those goblets over here and let's get drunk out of them. And that was an affront to Jehovah. He didn't like it at all. And so the word says that there was a hand that appeared. Everybody saw this big hand inside the room, and the hand wrote on the wall. And then the king, you know, everybody's all upset about this. What does this mean and everything? And so he sends for his wise men, and Belshazzar does this, just like his dad had done, and says, come and explain what this writing means. Now, the writing, many, many tickle your farce, and that was in Aramaic. All the wise men knew Aramaic, okay? So it wasn't that they could not read what was on the wall, but they could not interpret it. And so finally, it appears that Belshazzar maybe didn't even know Daniel, but somebody did. And so they called Daniel in, and Daniel walks in, and he interprets, here's what this means. And he tells him, here's what this means. That many kind of means number or something like that. Like, you know, I've measured you, and I've numbered your days. And you're found wanting. You don't measure up. You're not measuring up. And then eupharson is, I'm dividing or I'm splitting the kingdom. I'm taking the kingdom away from you this very night. Now, what would you do if somebody, a prophet of God, walked up to you and said, hey, God is telling me you're going to die tonight? What would you do? Have another drink? Because you know what? That's what he did. He had another drink. Now, he did promote Daniel to third in the kingdom, so now he's serving under another king, and he's up high again. He did do that, but it's like then he just went on with life. Isn't that crazy to find out that, you know, I'm not measuring up, and I'm going to die tonight, and I'm just going to party, keep partying and all of that. But, you know, I think we do a little bit of that ourselves. Every Sunday morning, you know, the pastor preaches something, maybe the pastor more than, you know, the rest of the teaching team that, you know, they know the pastor can get away with challenging you a little bit more. Well, the pastor says a little something, oh, it kind of pricks your heart just a little bit. So, oh, yeah, I should be doing that more, You know, I should be listening here, all that, and you start knowing that, but then you kind of just go on with life, just like he did, just go on with life. We need to do something with what God is speaking to us right here today. We don't need to just hear it and walk away. That's what he did. And he died that night. That's crazy to me, right? He gets a challenge. You're going to die tonight, and he doesn't pray about it. We need to move to prayer when God speaks to us. Every time God speaks to you in this place, you need to move to prayer. Every time God speaks to you on Monday, you need to move to prayer. Every time God speaks to you on Thursday afternoon, you need to move to prayer. Every time God speaks, you need to respond in prayer. But that's not what he did. How did this happen? Here's the big point I want you to get with this, is Daniel had an intimacy with God because he spent time with God. You cannot be intimate with someone you don't spend time with. You can't be close to them. A couple of days ago, the uncle I was closest to, my dad's brother, has passed away, and we had his funeral Friday. And I saw all these cousins that I grew up with. They were my best friends. They were my friends. I mean, I had a few friends at school, but they were my friends. But you know what? I can't call them my best friends today because I'm never around them. They're not my best friends. I don't spend time with them. I'm not close to them anymore because I don't spend time. We could talk about yesterday, you know, 20 years ago, 40 years ago, but I can't talk about, you know, we're not talking about what's going on this afternoon because we're not that close. You cannot be close to people you don't spend time with. You can't have an intimacy with God unless you spend time with him. But that's the promise that is there, is an intimacy with God when you spend time with him. And so Daniel walks in. Here's something very interesting about this chapter. This time, when he's asked to interpret something, he doesn't say, okay, let me go pray about it. He says, this is what it means. He looks at it and says, this is what it means immediately. Why? He was intimate with God. Maybe because God spoke to him as soon as he walked in the room and said, here's what I'm saying about this. He didn't have to go pray that time. He was ready. He was on board. He was in tune. He was listening to God. He was doing that thing that Paul talked about, praying without ceasing. And prayer is not just one way. If I'm praying, God's speaking to me. That's what prayer is. So I'm doing this all the time. And so he walked in. He didn't have to say, "Hey, God, it's Daniel. You remember me? We hadn't talked since earlier, you know," but he didn't have to do any of that. He was in communication with God. But here, I had this crazy idea today. I never really thought about this or this week when I was, never thought about it till this week. What if this is the way it really happened? What if earlier that morning, maybe when Daniel got up and praying his first time that morning, he's praying and God speaks to him and says, "Okay, look, your king, he is not honoring me. And I have weighed him in the balance and I'm finding him wanting and I'm cutting his days short. And actually, I'm going to take the kingdom away from him and he's going to die tonight." And so now Daniel said, "Well, I don't really hardly know Belshazzar. I knew his dad, but I don't really know Belshazzar. How am I going to get an audience with the king to tell him this? Because he's got this big party planned tonight. I can't even get in there to talk to him, you know. So I don't know how I'm going to share this. God told me to share this. I don't know how it's going to happen." And then later, he gets an invitation. "You got to come over to the banquet room because the king wants to see you." And he said, "Okay, I'm going to get an audience with the king. Thank you, God. You got this worked out." So he gets over there and he walks in the door and he sees many, many tickle your farcin. And Daniel knows immediately what it means because God already told him earlier that day. It's like, I don't know how I'm going to say this. And he walks in and the handwriting was literally on the wall. You know, you've heard that phrase, right? This is where it comes from. The handwriting was literally on the wall. And so perhaps he already knew what he needed to say and he walked in and said, "Yeah, that's what that means, King." Because he was already there. I'm going to say this in a couple of weeks when I'm preaching from another story. And let me go ahead and say it right here also, is when you're in tune with God, things don't catch you off guard, you know, because he's already telling you what's going on. It doesn't mean he tells you everything, but he's telling you that you're in line, when you're in tune with him, when you're in line with him and your spirit is in line with him, you don't get blown away by every little thing. You say, "Yep, I know this is God and it's time to go. I know this is God, it's time to act. I know this is God and it's time to be quiet. I know this as well as," you're already there, okay? And I believe that's what was happening with Daniel. He walked in and said, "Yeah, I know what that means." And he told him right then and there. Okay, then we have Daniel chapter 6. And Daniel chapter 6 is the one that most of us know about. It's the lion's den thing. I won't get into that so much, but I want to talk a little bit about this. Daniel becomes known for his exceptional spirit, and other leaders become jealous. Okay, that ever happened to you? You know, you ever have something good happen to your life and other people get jealous? Or maybe the flip side of that, you ever have somebody around you get something really good and you get jealous? Either way, you know, it happens because we have jealousy. I mean, it's one of those human traits that we have to battle against and fight against, you know, and we think, "Well, I did more than they did. I've served God. I pray more," and we have all those things, and we can get jealous as well. Well, this is what happened. They had this. So they were jealous, and they decided, "We're going to trip him up because we're going to pass a new law." All right, so they pass a new law, and then they follow Daniel home one day, and they catch him behind closed doors committing a crime. You know what crime he committed? Yeah, that's the crime he committed. They passed a law that nobody could pray except to the king for 30 days. They knew Daniel was going to do that. They knew they could catch him in this, and they caught him in a crime. Oh, that's a good one to think about, isn't it? Is what if somebody caught you behind closed doors, what would they catch you doing? Oh, goodness. Don't want to think about that one, do we? But would anybody ever catch you praying? Think about that. Because Daniel's habit was this. He had a habit to pray. Stop and pray 3 times a day. And just because there was a new law didn't mean he wasn't going to do it. Just because somebody was jealous of him didn't mean he wasn't going to do it. He continued to follow his habit. Let me say this about habits. I know it is so much easier to develop a bad habit than it is a good habit. You know why? Because most bad habits have immediate gratification. You know, and good habits normally take some time to build up. And so it's easier to develop a bad habit than a good habit. Like, it would be a lot easier this afternoon to go home and eat a whole carton of ice cream than to set your alarm clock 15 minutes early tomorrow morning so you can get up and pray and read the Bible before you go to work or school. Right? Which is easier? It's a lot easier to have bad habits than good habits, because bad habits feel good for a moment. But aren't we adults, and even the teenagers in the room? Aren't we not children anymore? And it's time for us to decide, do I want a little dopamine to get me through the next 15 minutes? Or do I want something real that's going to get me through the rest of my life? You know, because that's the decision that we have to make. And bring up that the big point here for this part, Philip. Prayer didn't change Daniel's enemies, but it did change the results of their attacks. Okay, this is a really good one here. Okay, had people talking to me after the first service about this one. You need to get this if you're looking at this, because a lot of times, I don't know about you, but there are times when, you know, I've prayed and I keep praying. I was like, God, you know what's going on. Like, God, you heard them those people. You heard them talk about me behind my back. You heard the accusations. You heard them lying on me, trying to discredit my ministry, David and I, we got a bunch of these, okay, in the past. You know, and it appears that, you know, God's not even paying attention. I know he hears it. I know he does. And, you know, why aren't you doing anything about it? God, do you not care? It's not that God doesn't care, but he's not as worried so much about the things being said about you. He's waiting for the big battle. Because he doesn't want to, I mean, if he stops their mouths, it's over. But if he gives them a little bit of slack, if he waits for the big battle, he can give you a victory that you can build on for the rest of your lives. And that's what he does. And so instead of getting all upset, hey, listen, God didn't stop their mouths, but he stopped the mouths of the lion. Their mouths couldn't do a thing to him because he was treasured by the king. When Daniel was thrown in the lion's den, the king was worried about him. So their words didn't do a thing to Daniel. It was the mouths of the lions that was going to do it. So look at this. When these people talked about Daniel behind his back, God didn't stop it. He didn't intervene. When they went to the king, he didn't stop them. He let them talk. When the king passed a law, he didn't stop them. He let the law be passed. And then when Daniel was caught behind closed doors, breaking the law by praying, God didn't intervene and say, no, he's my son. Look at what he's doing. He didn't stop it right there. Then they went to the king and they said, look, you got to do this, king. You can't back away from your word. And so God didn't unestablish the law. And when they tied Daniel's hands, God didn't intervene. When they threw him down into the pit, God didn't intervene. But when the lions began to move, then God intervened. So we got to keep in focus that God's not about this moment or this moment or this moment. God's about the big battle. He's the champion that is always going to win. And you just hang on and wait, because it's going to happen. And keep praying and keep praying and keep praying, because it's going to happen. Now, chapter 7 through 12, we like I said, these are deep. These are actually, a lot of this is about the end times. Daniel received more dreams in chapter 7 through 12 and visions, and he prayed for deeper understanding. Why did Daniel, let me read the rest of this, and got the first real glimpse of the end times. Why did Daniel, because if you do a study on the end times, you're going to study Revelations, you're going to study a little bit of what Jesus said in Matthew and or Luke, and then you're going to study probably some of Daniel. Daniel was the very first one to get a glimpse into the end times. Why did Daniel get this glimpse? Because he prayed for deeper understanding. You see, everything about Daniel's life, prayer is just woven throughout Daniel's life. In every little part, everything about it, every one of these chapters, there's prayer. There's amazing stuff. If you read Daniel today, go ahead and read chapter 7 through 12. Because an angel shows up to talk to Daniel and to explain to him. And man, it's just some really cool stuff that happens right here. Now, I'm close to closing, but I got to take a left turn here for just a moment, okay? Because while we're here, let me say something else, okay? I wonder if Daniel were being raised today as a child in Morris, Alabama, or Warrior, or Gardendale, or wherever it is you live, if Daniel were being raised today, how would he turn out? You know, All of Israel and Judah had turned their back on God. That's why they had taken themselves out from under God's protection. That's why they got overrun. But then here are these four kids, teenagers, young men. Here are these four young men that stand up to God in the peril of their lives at a fiery furnace and a lion's den, and they stand up for God anyway. My goodness, what men of God they must have been. How'd they get there? Somebody poured into them. Doesn't sound like it was the king. Don't even think it was the priest. But there was maybe a mom or a dad. You know, I know we're raising athletes. A lot of us think we're raising an athlete's going to get a big contract and take care of us when we're older, right? Yeah, I pray they do. We're raising athletes and we're raising musicians because that's the kind of classes we take them to, right? Extracurricular stuff and all of that. And we're raising corporate leaders, right? Yeah, I want them to be CEO. Maybe then they can take, you know, they just ain't got the athletic ability, but they're a corporate CEO, you know, a corporate leader, they're going to be able to take care of me when I'm old or whatever. We're raising those, but are we raising any Daniels? And I know it'd be really easy for me to say, well, you've seen my kid. I just don't know he's a Daniel. It might be easy to say that, but no, there's something in your kid, every one of them. There is something that is, there is a champion inside of every one of them. There is a hero, a spiritual hero, a hero for God in every single one of them. The question is not, do they have it inside of them? That's not what I'm asking you. What I'm asking you, are we raising our kids to be Daniels? Are we raising our kids to be Shadrachs? Are we raising our kids to be John the Baptist? Are we raising our kids to be an Esther? Are we raising our kids to be an Abigail? Oh, I wish I could tell you that story right now, too. Are we raising, this is good. Y'all got quiet on me, this is good. You know, and one of the reasons I like that we have our kids in here for worship, one of the reasons we do it, is your kids don't need to hear songs. They sing back there, okay? They're not here just to see worship. They are here to see you worship, Mom and Dad. They are not here just to be able to hear people praying. They are here to hear you praying along with everyone else. If I had time, I'd meddle here, but I don't have time. So let's read something together. Bring that. I skipped this first service. I don't want to skip it here. If we aren't careful as a church, we'll give our kids all the knowledge of prayer, worship, and God's presence without giving them an understanding of the practice of prayer, worship, and God's presence. Here's just some homework, Mom, Dad, or if you're raising grandkids, here's just some homework. Start today, this week, and pray. Say, God, show me how to raise this hero that you have loaned to me. Show me how to raise them to be every single thing you have dreamed they can be. And listen to him. Prayer is not just one way. Pray and let the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you in that. Okay? We're gonna practice that in just a moment. So why prayer?
Thanks for listening to the Church 2911 Sermons Podcast. If you have a need, we would love to pray with you. You can connect with our prayer team by emailing prayer@church2911.com or by texting 205-476-2911. You can learn more about our church by visiting us online at church2911.com and by connecting with us on Facebook and Instagram at Church2911. We hope this message has encouraged you and reminded you that God loves you and has an amazing dream for your life. As always, we dare you to dream.